This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, the numbers from the latest healthcare open enrollment period are out, and they're higher than expected. Still ahead, we'll find out what's driving demand for Obamacare.
Governor Walker took some heat recently when proposed changes to the University of Wisconsin's longstanding Wisconsin Idea were made public. Those budget changes were removed, but our next guest says the governor was right to put jobs at the center of the UW's mission.
And in an age of rising student debt, he says the UW is operating under an outmoded model of liberal arts education that has students taking requirements that don't better prepare them for the workforce and may push back their graduation date. Matt Kittle joins us now. He's bureau chief for Wisconsin Reporter, a Madison-based investigative news service, and member of the national investigative news organization Watchdog.org. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, say what you will about the governor's changes to the Wisconsin Idea, drafting error or no. What is your take on that move, the language there, to put jobs in the spotlight of the UW system's mission?
Well, I think the governor's position is his own. My column basically focused on what I think touched a nerve on both sides of this issue, and that is the model that of the higher education system, the higher education institution, university system in Wisconsin and elsewhere, that basically caters to the notion that you have to have this broad, expanded education. And I think a lot of people enjoy that. I think they see a good deal of value in that. But I think there are a lot of people who do not, particularly when it comes to taking courses along general requirements and those sorts of things that don't seem to have much to do with their major. We have heard a lot of comments after the column ran from people, former students at the university system and around the country who said, yeah, I don't know why I had to take this particular course or that. The young woman that we featured, she talked about, she gave a, for instance, a Scandinavian literature course, which was, of course, offered in a suite of literature courses, and she ended up taking that one. But it didn't really speak to her overall major. And given the cost, as you mentioned at the outset of the program, you know, how much the average University of Wisconsin student is paying in tuition in-state at $24,000, and you know the cost, the living expenses to go to school every year, taking on debt in the tens of thousands of dollars. I beg to ask the question: is all of this necessary? These courses, you know, what some view as extraneous courses in the pursuit of a career-driven education.
And the worry here to you is that this is pushing back the graduation date and upping the student loan debt. Is there evidence that is what is happening?
I think so. There is evidence to suggest, first and foremost, I will hastily point out that the University of Wisconsin, for instance, has seen its graduation from start to finish, the timeline decrease. And so they've done some good things with some initiatives at the university on that front. But it's still more than 4 years to graduate. And it's not the entire problem, certainly, all of the suite of classes, the 120 credits you have to take to be able to claim, you know, your degree in a particular major, what have you. But I think that mode of education does add to the cost. And it all adds up, and over time, that adds to the debt that our students are carrying with them well into their working years.
Now, when you talk about that mode of education, you're referring to essentially the liberal arts idea of an education where the student has to take from different elective offerings that may be required for them to graduate, but things that may not, you know, directly, say, be related to a degree in engineering. And the idea typically is that this produces a well-rounded student. It doesn't just produce someone who can specialize in a particular field, but someone who is a critical thinker and a well-rounded citizen. What would you say about the value of that?
I understand that. And for those who believe that is the path they want to pursue, I think that's absolutely fine. That's wonderful. I just think that the university system, the higher education in America, needs to adapt to the consumer. And there are a lot of consumers who say, hey, university, thank you, but I'll broaden my mind on my own time. If I want to know all about Scandinavian literature, you know, I'll pick up the girl with the dragon tattoo and read it on my time and save $2,500. I just think that there needs to be, I mean, it's just interesting, today we have a whole suite of cable programs that are now, we're seeing the move to a la carte in that area. You can get HBO without having to have a full package of cable now. I don't see why that has to be that, where we have to be stuck in an old system where we have to take everything at a university system in order to get a degree to work in a field that in which we want to work.
So do you think it makes sense moving forward to look at a system where students can streamline their courses, can pare down some of that and say, I want to get out as quickly as possible?
I think so. I think a la carte is a good way to look at it as well. You know, obviously, there has to be an approach to it that, that has the, you know, the criteria in place to make sure that you are trained to do that job. You know, people have, on the other side of this issue, they've said, well, what you're talking about is VOTEC, vocational education, technical school. And no, I'm really not, because you really can't get an engineering degree at a VOTEC. You can get an engineering degree at a four-year university, but you have to take a lot of other courses to get there. And again, I think the word that best describes what I'm thinking about is greater flexibility in terms of how you go about building a degree and how you go about being trained to be competent to do a job.
There's a lot of talk about being competitive in the global marketplace these days and worries that America is not keeping pace. If we were to move to a model that you're describing where people gain competency sooner but maybe don't get some of those things that might lead toward a fuller education, a deeper understanding maybe of Scandinavian literature and the world and America's place, things that would lead maybe toward the idea that a student is more well-rounded, does that make that student less competitive in the world because they're specialized? Would they be among, you know, the best and the brightest who's able to pivot on a dime and think creatively?
I think so. I think that there are all kinds of courses within the discipline of a major that teach us how to do exactly that. And I do believe that high schools, that secondary education, that they have a profound place in all of this. And we're seeing the transition now where we're seeing high schools delivering, you know, skill sets and courses that our students need to become employable, and at the same time broaden their experiences, their academic experiences. We have been in this model for years that you go through elementary school, you go into your middle school years, your junior high years, you go to high school. Now we're starting to move away from that, where we're getting advanced placement courses. That's helping defray some of these costs and some of these courses for students who can test out of programs. But I think there's a long way to go in that area. I think if a student doesn't want or need to take a number of courses that don't necessarily reflect their discipline or the skills they need to do a job, then they shouldn't have to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the Wisconsin idea. There was this flap a couple of weeks ago about some language in the budget that tweaked the Wisconsin idea, removed some parts of it, and put jobs more front and center. And you write some about this in your opinion piece, and you think that that part of it, putting jobs in the center of the university's mission statement, you think that's on the right track, right?
I do believe that. I mean, isn't that part and parcel of what an education is all about? And again, I say part of the education, but I think a very strong and compelling part. If you go to school for 4 years and you pay $100,000 for an education or $80,000 for an education for that degree, whatever the cost is, you should be employable at the end of that. And there should be something that resonates in that mission statement. I'm not suggesting we take out the search for truth, or that we do things to positively impact our communities, and that the university campus extends beyond the campus into communities in their cities and their state. I am suggesting that being skilled at what you're supposed to do and opening up the workforce to meet the needs of the next generation of employment should be a critical part of that mission statement.
We're talking right now with Matt Kittle. He's Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Reporter, a Madison-based investigative news service, and a member of the national investigative news organization, Watchdog.org.
We want to hear from you. Do you think UW students need too many requirements unrelated to their field to graduate on time? Do you think getting rid of some of those requirements might help people graduate faster, rack up less debt? If you're a student, past, present, or maybe future, what do you think of this? Do you want something that points you right toward a vocation, or do you want this mandatory requirement to have that broad field of study? Call in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation after a check of the latest headlines. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about job readiness right now. Our guest says that streamlining course requirements at the UW would help students graduate with less debt. He also thinks it makes sense to put jobs at the center of the UW's mission.
Matt Kittle is with us, and we want to hear from you. Do you think UW students are required to take too many classes unrelated to their main field of study? Is it important? Should people be well-rounded like that? And what's your take on putting jobs at the core of the UW mission? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go right to our callers. We've got Corey first in Anago. Hi, Corey.
Hi.
What do you think?
I'm a recent graduate, and I think it is important to have those general degree requirement classes. I started out as a pre-law major, and because of a course I took, I actually changed my focus to public health, and I think that can happen a lot in those first 2 years. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Corey. And Corey's saying that sometimes when you get into college, you may not know exactly what track you want to settle in on. These courses might help you discover who you are and what you're best at, and if you eliminate them, you might eliminate some options along the way.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I mean, that certainly can happen, and it certainly does happen daily for college students, for university students. The problem is, when you do that, you just incurred $3,000 more on your bill. And I understand, you know, you take a course and it doesn't work out for you, don't want to pursue that sort of course of study, you don't want to pursue that major, and maybe that saves you in the long run. But, you know, again, this is my point of view is it's all about options, that students should be able to have a greater choice in how they define their education.
Isn't that flexibility to pivot and go toward another major, maybe another discipline, part of the options?
Yeah, it is. And I, like I said at the outset of the conversation, for students like Corey and for others who, you know, see the value in this broader education, you know, this suite of different courses that may not be necessarily connected to your major, if you see the value in that, that's fine. My point of view is from people who don't necessarily see the value in taking this course or that course because that's part of the overall requirement and part of the general credits, and then ultimately to get that that degree in that major, they should be able to say, you know, I'd rather not, thank you. I don't want to pay for that.
Let's take another call now. Jenny joins us next in Franklin. Hi, Jenny.
Hi there. I am a 35-year-old single mom going on for my master's degree. I've been a nurse for about 14 years now. And I just wanted to say that I really wish I didn't have to take that extra semester and $12,000 of generals before I went on for my master's degree. Point of general life knowledge in that extra, as you take as the generals, I really feel like I got in the first 35 years of my life. And I wish it was a la carte because I wish I'd had that money back.
So, Jenny, sounds like you would have chosen to opt out if that were an option.
Correct, because I feel like I got that life knowledge and I knew what I was going for already.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you for your thoughts on that, Jenny. And Matt, it sounds like that's exactly the person you're speaking to there.
I really do. I agree with that point. As someone who is in that age range, on the higher end of that age range, but I think experience has a great deal to do with, or should have a great deal to do with, the sort of people and employees that we will be. And universities, higher education is really starting to do more of that, is to take experiential credit into consideration. But I don't think we're doing enough of that. And that's exactly what your last caller is talking about, is that she experienced a great many things in her 35 years that could be very helpful, and maybe suggesting that some of the courses involved to get to where she wants to be aren't necessary. And I think that's the sort of flexibility, the consideration, the new model to represent the consumer's needs and the needs of the taxpayer, by the way, funding the cost of higher education as well.
Thank you for that call, Jenny. We're going to go next to Tim in Milwaukee. Hi, Tim.
Yes, hi. What I'm afraid of is that your plan would create a world of technocrats where you know your one little field and you don't have a broader picture of what it's like outside of that field. So engineers that don't have any sense of beauty and so forth. And I'm... Mr. Kittle, I'm sure, has got a liberal arts education. And the other thing I'm afraid of is the ability of the educated to confuse the uneducated.
Okay, Tim, thank you for your thoughts on that. And Matt, what do you say to Tim's concerns?
And Tim, I understand those concerns. Again, I hope that I've made clear in the conversation it's not for everybody, certainly. I just think that there should be more choice. There should be more freedom in deciding, the student deciding, what the student wants to pay for, what is important. Obviously, we have to have things that measure skill sets, competency, all of those sorts of things. And as Tim suggests, there's a broader idea for many of the university experience, the liberal arts experience. And for those, I think they should have that opportunity. I just think that for people who are pretty set on being engineers or criminal justice majors or you name the discipline, they should have the opportunity to focus on those things. And then the concept of lifelong learner comes in. Now, this is where your university system can really assist and has done so admirably for time immemorial. And that is, you know, to be lifelong learners, where we have people going back to school to learn some things, maybe to pick up a course that maybe they're just really interested in Scandinavian literature and they want to take a course and read a lot of stuff and talk about it. That's the opportunity.
Jim was getting at something I want to pick up on, maybe the possibility of a system such as you describe, creating a college system, a university system of have and have-nots, those that can afford to pick up those extra credits in literature, art, music, other stuff that might direct them in a different way. They can afford it, and they'll pick them up, and those who can't afford it just have to be micro-focused on one thing. Is that something that you think is a concern here?
Not necessarily. I think that the concern is they have to spend so much money on all of those other things in order to attain employment or the degree that opens the door to a lot of employment. And the have-nots, as you say, don't have the wherewithal to do that. Now, if they want to do that, they should have the opportunity to do that, and the same sort of financial aid structure is in place right now that allows them to do that. But I do think about it from the other side of that coin. What about all the people who don't have the money to spend on this? We're very concerned about taking that debt on. And maybe they don't have the same channels for financial assistance that others have. I think that their needs should be reflected as education consumers as well.
Let's go next to Elizabeth in Madison. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I'm just calling. I'm a University of Eau Claire graduate, and I really think that my liberal arts education, well, I went in as an undecided major, and I didn't declare a major until almost the end of sophomore year. And so I just felt like I got to take all of these awesome classes. I remember registering as a freshman and having all of these cool options and being so excited to be able to educate myself in all different areas. And I had some friends who really struggled with college, and it makes me wonder if they're unable to take a college course that makes them write or read a novel or have to learn about different kind of scientific experiments and knowledge like that, if really they should be able to get a diploma then if they don't have that well-rounded education. And it makes me wonder about the question of, would these people then still get the same diploma as someone who has a whole liberal arts education?
Okay, interesting, Elizabeth. And what about that? Would people still get the same diploma? Is it equivalent when you've had to take all these other courses, think about these other things, maybe focus on writing, your communication skills, and someone who just focuses singly on one thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a higher education expert by any means. I'm just relating experiences that I've had as a student in college, and those that others have shared, you know, this whole sense that they're taking courses that might not necessarily be relevant to their final degree. I do understand, again, the point brought up that you get a chance to take all of these awesome classes. I get a chance to take some awesome classes, too, in the literature areas that I enjoyed. But I also had to take a lot of classes that I didn't find so awesome, that were very expensive. I can't tell you, because I'm not inside the system and I'm not an educational expert and I don't profess to be, what that would mean in terms of someone who goes through the traditional broader liberal arts degree, you know, and gets and goes through that experience. Would that be a different, would that be a different certification? And arguably, it should be. What I am suggesting in my column and here today on this program is that there should be more flexibility built in for students who don't want to take and don't find all of these additional courses awesome.
And Matt, as we wrap up, as an alternative to that, what do you think about approaching it from another angle and just trying to make college more affordable for everyone so no one has to make choices like that? Would you still stand behind the flexibility option if we could attack the problem from a different angle?
I agree. I think there are many different angles we have to attack the cost of college affordability in. And that's an entirely different program. But in short, yes, there are a lot of ways we need to attack this. What I suggest is that we need to be open to more flexibility and more of a consumer-driven model as we move forward.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you having me.
Matt Kittle is Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Reporter, a Madison-based investigative news service, and a member of the national investigative news organization, Watchdog.org.